of John. And Brother Tony did such an awesome job, and that message was really powerful, where we saw the different reactions of the people, and kind of to ask yourself, which one would I be in? Huh? And it was an awesome study. And we learned a lot on chapter 13. Now, today, I'm going to be looking at chapter 15. But I would like to comment a little bit on chapter 13 and 14 that were the ones that we skipped. And then tomorrow, we will have our devotional. And on the devotional, we'll talk about and have a little, just go through the scriptures on chapter 16 and 17. Thursday, Mario's family is going to be here ministering. His son will be preaching, his oldest son will be preaching, and Danny and his wife will be ministering in worship. They'll be leading us in worship. And then Friday, so he's going to preach on chapter 18. And then Friday, we will come and have our prayer meeting here, and our devotionals and everything that goes on will be based on chapter 19. And then on Sunday, I'll be preaching on chapter 20. But Saturday, we will be meeting in the room, in the youth room, and we'll be watching The Passion again. And we might add some of the special features so that you see how it was done and everything. But we also want to have a small devotional towards the end. So today, open your Bibles to John chapter 15. And we will be reading the whole chapter, but the Lord led me. Let me see how far I got. I think I got up to verse 11. So we'll be going through verses 1 through 11, but we will read the whole chapter. And again, if I see any more people showing up, then sorry if I start translating, but then it'll be good for you too. You'll learn a little bit of English, Spanish, I mean. Chapter 15. Everybody has it? Chapter 15? You got it, Joe? Okay. Chapter 15, Gospel of John. I am the true vine, and my Father is a wine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for your beautiful word, Lord. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that moves right here in the midst of us, Lord. Thank you that you can take the words that are written right here in this book, and you can make them come alive in our hearts and in our spirits, Lord. I ask that your Holy Spirit would help us to not only listen to these words, Lord, but to put them into action, Lord. That you would be glorified, Lord. That you will receive honor and glory wherever we go, Lord. Not only right here at church, but in our homes, in our workplace, in the street. Wherever you send us, Lord, that we would shine your light and bear much fruit for your glory, Lord. Use my lips, Lord. Take control of my thoughts, Lord, and let only the words that would be edifying come out of my mouth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. What a beautiful passage. We've been going through the Gospel of John, and I think Sister, was it you that sent the message? They said, man, it keeps getting better and better. It's getting better and better. And it is every chapter that we read in the Gospel of John. And I hope Joe started reading the Gospel of John, because we recommended, hey, start reading the Gospel of John. That book is so powerful. And today, this chapter is one of those that I think can change literally your life if you apply every word that is written here. Because Jesus goes down to, they used to say the nitty-gritty, huh? He goes down to the bare bones, and he goes down to the basics. And you know, sometimes when teams are not playing well and stuff, the coach says, you know what, we're back to basics. And you start training again, you start getting in shape, and you start doing all the different plays that were just basic. Because if you start playing wrong, something's going on that you let go of the main thing. And here, Jesus is about to be arrested by the Jewish leaders. And we notice that if you read the verse before, before verse 1, look at verse 31 from chapter 14. It says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me the commandment, so I do." And look at what he says right there, that last phrase. "Arise, let us go from here." Now, from here where? Where were they? They were in the upper room. They were celebrating Passover, which is a Jewish holiday where the night before they would sacrifice a lamb, and then they would eat it. But in this occasion, Jesus was going to be the Lamb of God. But he's having supper with his disciples, and finally, like we mentioned yesterday, he's opening his eyes to where now they're understanding that he actually is going to die. And so they started getting really sad, and they started thinking, what are we going to do? I mean, we've been following Jesus for 3 years, and all of a sudden now he's going to die. And we have Thomas yesterday that he says, "Lord, where are you going? We don't even know which way, what road you're taking, which way you're going, and how do we know? We don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way." And then a famous verse that we quote all the time because it was the words of Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And so right after they had supper, he says, "It's time for me to go. It's time for us to go." And he was going to go. Remember, this is completely different from anything else that has ever happened before. Because I am telling you, we run into accidents all the time. And you wake up in the morning and you have no idea. I don't know. How many of you have been in a car accident? Raise your hand. I've been in a car accident. And man, it's kind of like it catches you off guard. You had no idea. And then all of a sudden, boom, you just hit that car. I remember going on the 101 freeway. And I was going on the fast lane because over there where the 110, the 5 and everything divides. And so I'm like, oh, let me move to the fast lane because that's the one that's going to take me to my freeway. So I'm going all fast, this little uphill. And then right when I pass it, cars are stopped. I'm like, oh my. So I try to pull the car to the side, but then when I look at my mirror, no, there's a car that's coming right there. So I won't be able to do it. So then I just start hitting the brakes, pumping them, hoping that it would slow down. And I saw the car in the front, boom, just hits. And then another one hits, and then I'm coming right behind. And I'm like, boom, just hit it. I'm like, oh my God. And then from behind comes another one, boom, hits me. I'm like, wow, I had no idea that was going to happen that day. Now, it would have been different if I would have woken up that morning and someone would have told me, hey, you know what? Around 7 p.m., you're going to be driving on that freeway and you're going to have an accident. Guess what? I wouldn't have gotten on the freeway. I would have said, oops, avoid it. They told me that I was going to have an accident right there. Well, guess what? Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. And yet, he says, let's rise up. Let's go. Man, that is love. Because when you see him praying at Gethsemane, he says, Father, if this cup can just pass over me, let it pass. But if it's the only way, then I'll drink it. And he did. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. And now he's going to tell his disciples something so deep. I mean, I thought I knew this story. And then I start getting into the verses, and I'm like, wow, this is really good. We're going to see a little video We're going to play a little video, and then you'll understand once we get into the verses what I'm talking about. Okay, but this is just a visual of what it is. And I was watching another video when they show the dry kind of stump on the bottom. That's the actual vine. That's the one. Can you turn on this light? That's the one that actually is going to produce the branches that will give fruit. Those are the ones that are going to bear fruit. And you find out that they grow out, and then some other branches grow on the sides to those branches. Most of those other ones don't bear fruit. Only the ones that are connected to the one on the bottom. And so that one extends, and it'll expand into more, and each one is connected to the vine. The ones that are the side are the green leaves with nothing, and those are the ones that get cut and just thrown out. And so I used to think that every branch was connected to the vine, but they're not directly connected to the vine. They are taking life from the vine, but they're not connected in the sense of being directly to it. Only the ones that are directly connected to it are the ones that produce fruit. It's awesome. It's awesome. I'm like, wait, I thought I understood that story. And you show, and you see how the ones that didn't have fruit, but were still connected, they were cut because they're of no use. So now let's go to, this is the illustration that Jesus uses to talk about us connected to him to be able to produce fruit. So we're going to get into verse by verse, and you'll see. That's why I called it the true vine, and then as a subtitle, abide in the vine. That's what we need to do. We need to abide in the vine. So now verses 1 through 11, you find the true vine. And then verses 12 through 17, friend of sinners, because he says, I have not called you servants, but I've called you my friends. And literally, he is a friend of sinners. And the hatred of the world, which is the last 18 through 26 are the verses that talked about how the world will hate you, just as the world has hated me. And I chose you from the world. And because I chose you from the world, since they don't love me, they'll also hate you. Now, those are basically three messages that you find in chapter 15. We're going to focus on the first one, which is the true vine. And now, just as a footnote, the true vine is Jesus. The vine dresser is the Father, because he says it right there. The true vine, whenever we read about the true vine right here in chapter 15, it's Jesus. And the vine dresser is the Father. And the branches are the believers in Jesus, or the fake believers in Jesus. So we're going to get into that one by one. So notice how it all starts. He starts describing himself first. This is Jesus speaking. If you have one of those big Bibles with letters in black and red, you'll see that all this section is in red. Those are all the words of Jesus. And he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, he's describing himself as the true vine. That means there are fake vines that give no fruit, that don't take you anywhere. So, now, he says, my Father is the vine dresser. So the vine dresser is the one, like the man that was cutting, the one in charge of taking care of the vine. So when you think about it, you see the true vine is Jesus. Then we connect to Jesus, and now the Father, who is the vine dresser, will take care of the ones that are connected to Jesus. So we start, like the description starts right there. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Now we're on verse 2. Every branch in me. I want you to stop right there. What does it say? The branch where? In me. So this is the beginning of a true believer. A true believer, that's why, Joe, I emphasize, you have to make Christ the Lord of your life. You have to surrender your life to Christ in order to be in Christ. We can't be next to Christ or related to, no, we have to be in Christ. So right here, in order for us to be fruitful, there's no effort. There's no effort. The vine, the branch, comes out of the vine. You get it? When we're born again, that's what being born again of the Spirit is that He gives us life, and through His death, through His resurrection, He connects us to Him, and He makes us part of Him. So we are in Him. So now we start seeing the picture. It's not a religion. It's not a religion. It's a new life that is produced by God in a miraculous form. It's a spiritual. It's a different dimension. People cannot understand this. Most people want to have religion to get connected to God. That is not the way to get connected to God. The way you get connected to God is through the vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ. And you connect yourself to Him. He gives you life through His Spirit. And now you are part of Him. You are an extension of Jesus' power flowing through you. So verse 2 is kind of like, if you skip this step, you end up being a branch with no fruit, and you end up not being part of the ones that are going to heaven. And you'll see the progression of the story. Because right here, every branch in me, so we start right there, in me, so we must be in Christ, that does not bear fruit, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. So there's branches that do not bear fruit. If the branch does not bear fruit, that's evidence that it's not in Him. Remember those branches on the side? If you study the vine, only the ones that are connected to the stump that goes up, the ones that are direct, those are the ones that produce fruit. The ones that are connected through the sides, don't. And right here, you'll see. Who was the vine dresser? The Father. So the Father comes and looks at the vine, and He looks at the branches, and He notices some that are not bearing fruit. So what does He do to them? A branch not connected to the vine will be taken away, will be cut, and you just throw it on the floor. Let it dry, and later we'll see what happens. Number 3, verse 3. Now, well, let's finish with verse 2, because there's a part right here that talks about the branches that do bear fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, what does He do? He prunes. He prunes. Now, prunes means take away. So, as a babe in Christ, when you come to Christ, you'll find out that the first I would say, I don't know, everybody's different. I remember for me, it was the first month that literally it was kind of like if God gave me an ATM to heaven and I could use it anytime. Literally, it was like that. I remember praying for things and I would get him like right away. I would say, Lord, I remember not having a job. And I accepted Christ and I said, Lord, can you please give me a job? The next day I get a job. And then things that happen like that. Lord, I don't understand the scripture. Can you send someone that can teach me this? And all of a sudden the teaching was about that. I'm like, wait, there's the answer. I mean, there were so many answers. Lord, please allow me to speak to this person and see if they... He would do it. But then there comes a time where the answer doesn't come. And it feels like, wait a second. But he's actually pruning you, so that you will bear more fruit. Because if not, you're just going to be like a little baby. Gimme, gimme, gimme. More, more, more. I want more. I want more. But he wants us to grow in our spiritual walk. So if you start bearing fruit, if you're connected to the vine, he's going to prune you. Now, pruning means sometimes tests. Some tests are going to come. Some trials. Some tribulations. Some illnesses. Some people will be taken away from your life, that relationships that you shouldn't be hanging out with, but that you've been so attached to. But then you realize, wait, this person is actually hindering my growth in Christ. This person is actually getting in the way of me coming closer to Christ. And I can't have that struggle. I remember, man, I used to have a lot of hair and I used to be young and skinny and everything. And I used to have a girlfriend before I married my wife. And I came over here to the U.S. just so I could get money so I could go back and marry. And I would spiritualize everything. Since I became a believer, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go over there. I'm going to preach the gospel to her. She's going to become a believer and we're both going to serve the Lord. But then every time I tried it, something didn't click. She didn't like, no, you're crazy. What's going on with you? What happened to you? And I kept trying and trying and trying until the end. Even her parents told me, like, you know what? That's not for you. That girl is not for you. Because you're already serving God and you're trying to do things right. She doesn't want to. And I'm like, what? But I kept praying. People used to see me at the altar praying and crying, and they thought, man, what a man full of the Spirit. No, I was crying for my girlfriend. Lord, please save her. And I'm right there. And I even got all my stuff and went back to Mexico. And people kept telling me, you're going in disobedience. You're going against the will of God. And I said, no. God is going to do a miracle. You're going to see. Yeah, what happened is, I went over there and I found her with someone else. It was so embarrassing. And I just come back. It was sad. I came back humbled, all because I didn't listen to the advice that people were giving me. And then I didn't realize that it was God pruning me. God taking away the things that shouldn't be there and the people that shouldn't be there so that I could grow, so that I could become fruitful. And once that was over, I'm like, okay, Lord, that's it. I'm sold out for you completely. No more playing games. And it's been 28 years. Praise God. He was patient with me. But yeah, you're going to be tested. We're all going to be tested. And maybe right now you're being pruned. And you don't realize that, hey, fruitful days are coming. Good, beautiful days are coming for your life if you just wait on the Lord. Don't run away from the... Imagine a vine trying to get away from... Like, no, don't prune me. Don't, like, moving to one side or another. The Father has complete control, so don't fight him. Now, the word abide is mentioned 8 times in 8 verses. So you think it's important? It is important. So abide is going to be one of those words that... tells us we need to stay connected. We need to stay connected. Now, remember, it's not an effort. Because some people would take the scripture out of context. If you skip verse 2, where we already said that it's in him. He is the one that produces the life. He is the one that gives us the energy. He is the one that makes us capable of serving him. Then he takes all the credit. But he operates through our will. We surrender our lives. We submit to him. And you'll see how he explains this. So we can bear much fruit. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing to know this. We are already clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Why? Because the word is Jesus. The word is Jesus. So he gives us his word. He gives us himself. He reveals himself to us. And he cleanses us through with his word. And it's awesome because now this gives us security. This gives us stability. And this gives us a guarantee that we are going to be fruitful. There's no doubt that we will be fruitful. So verse 3, he says, we're already clean. So when the things we do as a believer, we don't do it so we can become holier and try to get to God. No, the things we do, our devotion and our sanctification are things that God has already ordained for us before we were even saved. He has prepared those things that we are going to do so that we can walk in obedience to him. So you start by accepting Christ into your heart. Then you start growing in Christ. As you start growing, fruit will start appearing. Then the Father will come and prune some of the things, take away some of the things so that you would be more fruitful. And when you get here, you're already clean. He already took the things away. That's what he means by you're already clean. By being pruned, you're ready to be fruitful. So when the pruning comes, a lot of people walk away from Christ. That is not the response we should have. If we have come to Christ by faith, we have made him our Lord and Savior, and we are walking in his steps and in his word, then the next thing to do is wait on him. And when you wait on him, he prunes you, he takes off these things that shouldn't be there, and as he cleans you, he cleanses you, you're ready to be fruitful. Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. So this is mutual. You abide in Jesus, and Jesus abides in you. You want to be full of God? You abide in him. And he will come in the person of the Holy Spirit and fill your life. Just as salvia, that flows. It's kind of like the life that flows through the vine comes to all the branches. It comes from the vine, from inside, and it goes to all the branches. The same way, when we're connected to Jesus, his life is going to start flowing through us. And you're going to start seeing things that, whoa, that wasn't me. You get surprised the first time that you react. I remember one time a person was cussing at me. I was at my work, and I used to be at an office supply store. And this person, I don't know what he ate that day. That person just came in, and he started cussing at me and saying all these things and stuff, so much that the owner came from the back room, and he says, what's going on? Oh, this guy. And he just cussed. And I'm like, I'm standing there looking at this guy, and I was actually surprised at myself. I'm like, wait a second. Why am I not getting mad? Why am I not jumping the counter and beating this guy up? Why am I holding back? Why am I not even answering anything to him? I just stayed there. And I looked at him. And then he just finished and left. And the owner looked at me and he says, whoa, what just happened? I said, I have no idea. He says, no, you. Why didn't you say anything? Like, I'm surprised. He says all these evil things, all these bad things, all these bad words. And he was just saying a bunch of things that were like really offensive. And I walked that day praising God. I'm like, yes, Lord. Finally, I saw the miracle, man, in my life. I'm like, wow, that was him. Because I knew myself. I knew how I was. And I said, man, this would have been, I would have lost my job probably, and a lot of bad testimony and everything. But God starts working in you in ways that you're amazed. You're like, wait, that wasn't me. That was God that helped me. And he says, if you abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can't do it on your own. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So if you're thinking, oh, I come to Christ, I give my life to Christ, he's going to clean up my mess, and then I'm going to go back and do my own thing and I'll be fine. Don't do that. Don't think that way. Because if you think that way, what Jesus says is, it's kind of like the man that his house is cleaned up, but he leaves it empty. So then the demons go out of that house, they leave, and they're out there, and then they come back and kind of take a look to the house, and they realize that the house is empty. The demons go and bring seven more. Worst. And they come and make their home again in that house because it was empty. That's why you always have to stay with Jesus. You always have to stay. And just to have the Holy Spirit inside of you, the enemy cannot touch you. When he comes, the Holy Spirit would say, what do you want? They just flee. They just flee. If you stay connected to Christ, if you have the life of Christ in you, the enemy can't touch you. He can't do nothing. But if you think that you can do it on your own, you won't be able to do it on your own. That's why surrender your life completely to Christ. Unless you abide in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Not just fruit, much fruit. Why? Because the Father loves the Son. And the Son loves us. And so the Father looks at the fruit of the Son, which is us. Because he gave his life for us, that we would come and have life in him. So then the Father comes and he looks at us and he says, wow, I'm going to take care of him. And then you're going to have abundant fruit. Now, look at so I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So it's much fruit. For without me, look at what happens without him. How many things can we do? Nothing. Nothing. And it could even happen to me as a pastor, as a minister. It could happen to you where you get complacent because you say, you know what, I got this. I think I know how to do this. Oh, I know how to prepare a sermon. Oh, I know how to do this. Oh, I know. I learned a lot. I'm really smart. Or look at how much money I have. Look at my job. I have job security. And you start trusting in all those things, and guess what happens? They can disappear in a second. But if in everything we do, we're always putting him first. and saying, you know what, Lord? You help me with my kids. You help me with my relationship with my wife. You help me at work so I could be a good example. You help me at church. You help me. Everything that I'm going to do, I'm going to do it in your power, not in my power. I'm not going to trust myself. If I trust myself, then I'm putting him aside and I can't do nothing. Nothing without him. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me. Now he's going to talk about the ones that do not abide in him. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Because you see, they cut the green branches that bear no fruit, throw them. At first, you might think like, oh, well, look at, nothing happened. It's still green. It's going to wither. The sun will come and it'll dry and it'll be a dead branch. And what happens to the dead branch? And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Wow. Wow, that is serious stuff. You know what he's talking about. Most preachers will not say it. He's talking about hell right there. If you are not in Christ, if you just have religion, if you just have the facade where you're making people think that you are a believer, but you do not have the life of Christ flowing in you, if everything you do is in your own strength, guess what? It's going to be cut out. God even allows the wheat and the tares to grow together. And he says, no, don't worry. Let them grow together. One day, the angels will come and they'll cut the tares and they'll throw them into the fire. And the wheat, he'll gather it and put it in his barn. God knows the hearts. That's why I'm telling you, open your heart, give him your heart. I don't care how long you've been in church. Many people have been in church, maybe they grew up in church, and they start getting confused and they start thinking, well, I sing in the choir, well, I help with this and I help with that. That doesn't matter. Are you in the vine? Have you made Christ the Lord of your life? Is he your life? Is he your passion? Is he it for you? Look at what happened. So they're thrown in the fire. Man, that is scary. Now, the first step determines your future. That's why we should never confuse coming to church or serving as a sign that we are in Christ. Those things should be a byproduct, not the source of your salvation. Once you're saved, God has prepared good works for you to walk in them. And that's what we do. The good works that we do them in obedience. Because some people say, oh, you don't smoke? Oh, do they tell you in church that you shouldn't smoke? No. If I wanted to, I would. But you know what? I don't need it. I don't need it at all. Why? Because Christ gives me peace. What do people smoke because they want to relax? Well, Christ relaxes me. Christ gives me joy. Some people drink. They say, oh, I just drink because you know what? Everybody's drinking right there, so I don't need it. When you have Christ, honestly, if you make Christ the Lord of your life completely and you say, you know what, I'm gonna give up all these things that are trying to kind of fight for the attention of my life. Instead of doing that, you know, guess what? I'm gonna read the Bible. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna listen to music. I'm gonna listen to messages. I'm going to find someone that I can call. Hey, you know what? Right now, I'm feeling this temptation. Can we talk? And then just give it to Christ. And I'm telling you, you will start living an abundant life. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words, here we go. Now he's putting it practical. And my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, most people focus on the last part. Oh, really? I can ask whatever I want and I'm going to get it? No, it starts on it starts in the beginning. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. What is that? The Bible. His commands. His laws. When you love Christ, you will love the Word. And when you love the Word, you will love to put it into action. And when you know the Word, you will learn to pray. There's nothing better. There's no more powerful prayer than that one that aligns with the Word of God. And he says, if you love me, if you abide in me, my words will abide in you. And as the Word of God is in you, your prayers will be according to His will. So if you're praying according to His will, guess what? You're going to get whatever you pray for. Because if I'm material, if I'm selfish, if I'm not full of the Word, even as a believer, I'll be praying some kind of prayers that will be like, really? Are you praying for that? Oh, give me a house and give me a brand new car and give me this and give me that. But why don't we go to the Word? If we go to the Word, your prayers are going to be deeper. And they're going to be according to His will. And you'll be like, you know what? Who cares if that doesn't happen? Let me have the most important things. First of all, I want to make sure that if I die today, I'm going to heaven. So thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Thank you for saving me. And then I'm going to praise Him for everything He's done for me. And then when I pray, Lord, I ask that you save those loved ones that have not yet come to Christ. Please reach my brother, my sister, reach my friends. You think those prayers will not be answered? Those are according to His will. He'll answer those. And all your prayers are going to be, Lord, send a revival. Lord, bring more people to Christ. Bring them here to the church. And all those prayers will be answered. But if we pray our selfish prayers that are not according to the Word, we won't receive anything. That's what James says. You don't receive because you pray wrong. You're asking for your own desires. And that's why you don't get an answer. Now he says in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now this verse is awesome because it's telling us that the Father will be glorified when we bear much fruit. And remember how he was talking about His Word? The teacher teaches with His words, and we become disciples. But there's nothing that brings more glory to God than obeying the Son. And when you obey the Son, you start bearing fruit. And when you start bearing fruit, you will prove by the fruit that you are a disciple of Christ. Isn't it horrible when somebody says, imagine that you're a baseball player, a retired baseball player, and you have all this knowledge, and you're going to teach someone all the things that you've learned. And then 5 years have gone by, and you go and watch him play, and you're like, what? He's terrible. He doesn't remember anything that you told him. Nothing that you taught him. He doesn't do any of the basics or anything. And then when you start talking to him, you find out that, you know what? Well, I know you're my teacher, but I really didn't learn much from you. Man, that's an offense to the teacher. Like, wait a second. Are you talking about me? Really? I'm doing all this for you, and you don't... It's you that didn't apply yourself. And that's what happens here. God is glorified when he sees that we start walking. But imagine some disciples want to make their own rules. And they say, you know what? They want to bend the Bible for their own desires. They want to bend the Bible for their own, whatever they want. They say, they're always asking, is this a sin? Is that a sin? Is that a sin? Why? Because they're only thinking of themselves. Instead of saying, wait, that shouldn't be the question. It should be, does this glorify God? Because if I'm asking, is this a sin? Most likely, I'm trying to please myself. But if I'm asking, does this glorify God? Then I'm trying to please him. So think of that. If we have the word, and then the Father will look at us. He loves the Son. He sent the Son to die for us. And now we have become disciples of Christ. And when the Father sees us, and he sees in us all the characteristics of his Son, he is pleased. He smiles and he says, wow, look at this. It was worth it. I sent my Son to die for them, and now look at them. They are like my Son. This will bring a smile into the Father's face, and he'll say, wow, well done. He will be pleased. So, verse 9, as the Father loved me, now he's going to talk about love. I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Now, when we talk about love in God, God does not have love. You're like, what? No, God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. Now, he's not the love that the world describes. They even had to use a different word to describe God's love. Agape. Agape. Agape love. And that was a Greek word that meant unconditional love. Nowadays, people say, oh, I love you, but you don't even know what they mean. Because they can be thinking their own thing. Someone might be thinking, in Greek, they had separated the different words so that you could define what you were talking about. It was eros, where you knew they were talking about erotic love, where it's more just the physical love. And there was phileo, where it's more like the friendship love, where you love as a friend. And you had agape, which is the one from God, unconditional love. Now he says, and there was one more. I forgot the word, but it basically means the love between relatives. But he is using the word agape. So agape, number 9, verse 9. So as the Father loved me, now with that word, unconditional love, and I have also loved you unconditionally, you should abide in my love. What does that mean? That if I abide in his love, which is unconditional love, that the Father and the Son have, and then the Son showed that unconditional love to me, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to start loving people around me unconditionally. That is a miracle. In this world, more people need to see that. Unconditional love. It's really hard because we always like, no. He did this to me. He needs to pay it. And we said, no. Now my turn. You hit me once. Now my turn. Here I go. No. God says no. As I abide in my Father's love, now I pour it to you. You abide in my love. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, now how can we abide in that love? By keeping his commandments. And it's so awesome because the word of God, deals with our inner man over and over and over and over again. We mess up and then we go to the Word of God and we find right there the answer, like, oh man, I shouldn't be thinking this. Man, I was wrong in that thing that I did. And as you start learning the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit will start bringing to memory the Word of God before you get into a situation. And instead of regretting what you said, you'll start walking in His love. You'll start walking in His commandments, and His commandments are love. It is awesome. I don't know why people don't get serious about this. A lot of believers, they just, I don't know, I guess they just think of Christ as a life savior. Like, oh, just give me a floaty. Just so I can make it through life. But they're miserable through life. And that's why you find so many bad testimonies. Bad witnesses. Because people are not doing what we're supposed to do. As believers, we're supposed to abide in His love. And abiding in His love means keeping His commandments. And He says, you will abide in My love just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. Now, Jesus, like I said from the beginning, man, He obeyed like no one else. Even though He knew what was coming. And He knew the biggest pain and suffering was not the physical pain. Do you know that? That it wasn't the physical pain that was the worst for Jesus? It was actually when He hung from the cross and he cried out, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? That is the pain. Imagine. It's really hard to explain how our sin caused that expression to be said from the cross. Incredible. So it wasn't the lashes, it wasn't the scourging, it wasn't all that, it wasn't none of that. The spear, the nails, none of that. I'm not saying it wasn't painful, it was painful, but that wasn't the worst. The worst was when He was separated from the Father because of our sin. And I know theology, like, He never ceases to be God. So what He experienced there, not necessarily was the separation of the divine nature, but it was the wrath of God upon His Son because of our sin. The wrath of the Father on Him. And He felt forsaken because of our sin. That's what it is. Just so you don't, so you get it right and don't start thinking other things here. So these things I have spoken to you that My joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now, even though we've spoken a lot of things that we should be doing, all those things that we do will bring us joy. And that's what people don't understand. Jesus gives us a joy that the world cannot understand. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? Why are you happy? Why do you have that peace? If you don't party, if you don't drink, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, if you don't sleep around, if you don't, what's the point of your life? Well, it's refocused. I'm not focused on the earthly. Now I'm focused on Christ. And He is my joy. He gives me peace that surpasses all understanding. I could be in the midst of a storm right here on earth, and I could still have the joy of the Lord. Amen? You could have it. You can experience it. But only if you are in the vine. And if you're living the Christian life to the fullest. Man, I challenge you. Go all out. All in for Christ. Dive in. Don't be afraid. Just do everything that He asks you, and you'll see the joy that comes. These things have I spoken to you. That's His word. That My joy, His, because He is the true vine. may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Man, I don't want a little bit. I don't want to walk around with just about this much of joy. No, I want the full, the whole thing. I want it to be all full, that it will overflow, and that other people will say, wow, this guy, man, he's joyful. At work, to be the life of your department where you work, to be the life, but without the evil. It is so awesome. I mean, I have a personality that I'm always laughing and cracking jokes and stuff, but then I never cross the boundaries. I never, and they know it. They know it. They say, no, don't joke around like that with him. Somebody says a cuss word and like, oh, sorry, brother. Hey, that's okay. But I'm not over there like all serious and I'm a Bible-believing Christian. No! I have the joy of the Lord. And I want people to come to Christ and experience this joy that I have. So, man, this is such an awesome passage that we studied. Now, let me just finish reading it. This is my commandment. Oh, no, that's it. That's it. 11. Right there. That's the good point to finish right there. Your joy may be full. So now you understand the vine and what it means about abiding in him and abiding in his word, abiding in his will, abiding in his love, abiding in his commandments. Let me just read this and we finish. True joy comes from abiding in the vine, bearing abundant fruit, abiding in his agape love, and obeying his commandments. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this incredible portion of Scripture, Lord. What a joy to get into the Word, Lord, and know that you love us with such an amazing love, Lord. You gave everything that we would gain heaven, that we would gain salvation, that we would gain true love, and that we would gain true life, life abundant in you, Lord. And I ask that if anyone that is listening to this message has not yet made you the Lord of their lives, even if they've been going to church, Lord, I ask that you speak to them in a mighty way, and that today they surrender completely so that your life may flow through them, and that they would bear fruit, abundant fruit, for the glory of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.